What comes to mind when you think of the word light? What does it do and how does it do it? In 1 John, the first chapter through the second chapter, verse 2, we're told about the distinctions between lightness and darkness. Let's join Pastor Jerry Seawright as he talks about three specific aspects of light as he continues his series on fellowship in a sermon entitled, The Light Ship is the Right Ship. Welcome to Precepts, a podcast sermon ministry of New Life Community Church, located in Pontiac, Michigan. Our church's vision is proclaiming Christ and equipping saints in the bond of fellowship. During each podcast series, Pastor Elder Jerry Seawright addresses biblical and doctrinal topics impacting Christians' daily living. Feel free to visit the media section of our website at www.nlccpontiac.org to download as well as take sermon notes during the podcast.
Praise the Lord, saints. Amen. If you will, let's join with me in a quick word of prayer. Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you now. And Lord, as always, Father, we want to esteem you high. How great thou art. Lord, we, your servants, ask that you be in the midst of your people on today. We ask that you touch their hearts and touch their minds, Lord, to receive your word, not my word, but your word. Lord, we ask that you just move me out of the way. Let them see you working through me so that they may be better in their walk, better in their talk. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Minister Donovan had read in your hearing earlier the entire first chapter of 1 John. And the title of this message is The Light Ship is the Right Ship. The Light Ship is the Right Ship. And we're talking about fellowship. That's our series. Our fellowship is fellowship. And just by way of introduction, you know, this pastor thing is new to me. And it's interesting because my first prayer is, Lord, it continues to be, Lord, show me hearts. Lord, I want to see hearts. Because it's important to see who you're working with, what you have to work with. Amen? So it's a thing of, I don't have an x-ray vision where I can see right through you and know your intentions or things of that nature. But you know, the Lord can show and expose it all. Lord, show me hearts. And what better way to have hearts shown to you than to expose them to the light, which is God, which is Jesus, the light of the world. I was going through the Bible, and I said, you know, I'm going to try this series approach to messages. So for several weeks, I read 1 John. And since I was going through and going to tackle this thing through a series approach, I said, let me get the shortest book that I can find. And I said, oh, 1 John looks pretty good. The verses are not that long. The chapters are not that long. This should be all right. Yeah, right. Right? From the start, I struggled in my study of this book. You know, usually in my study, and I get this groove, I get into a groove. And you know, it's almost physically at the table when I'm studying, and it hits me. I'm like, wow. Wow. Yeah. Never thought of that. That's good. Yeah. This time I was like, what? Each time I read it through the whole, I read it, this book for a whole month. And at the end of it, I just stepped back and I said, what? Okay, what are you saying? So what I decided to do is I decided to go and look at other folks' work on John, on 1 John. And I read their outlines. That added to my frustration because no one had the same outline. Everybody had different outlines of this book. And one brother had the nerve to say, it is very difficult to outline this book. And I'm sitting there like, duh. Yeah. Help me out, right? So I needed an answer to when I was, I knew the question was coming. Elder, what's your first series going to be about? I knew that question was coming. And I was crunched for time. And then the question came. And I said, fellowship. Fellowship. Yeah, that's what it'll be about. Fellowship. Because that was the most in common word that I saw throughout the outlines. Fellowship. But I come to tell you today that I thought I chose 1 John. I thought I chose 1 John. I thought I chose it. But when I got it, I see that God directed me to this book, 1 John, because it talks about fellowship. And then when I was studying, the Lord finally, you know, blessed me, and I had that aha moment. And I said, wow. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. Okay, I got it. If I were the enemy, if I was the enemy, I wouldn't want me to speak about this either. I wouldn't want me to teach on this important lesson about fellowship, because the truth is that one of the most powerful things in the hand of God is a church on one accord. A church on one accord. The enemy doesn't want to see that. He doesn't want to see that. So he will try to block it. Amen? He'll try to block it. One of the assignments, or I would say two of the assignments of an elder, is basically to, one, preach and teach. But then the other is to protect, because it's a lot of mess that's being taught out there. So we preach and teach and exhort. But then we also have to do some pro protection. And liken that to like an elder having a fine-tooth comb in his hand. And he's coming to do your head. He's coming to do your hair. And he's got a little comb. And you know what little combs do. And so the elder approaches you, and he gets that most tangled part of your head. I think another term is called nappy. And we get the nappiest, we're going to start on the nappiest part of your head with a little comb. Huh? And sometimes we're doing this like my mother used to do with me. You know, it's funny because I used to sneak out the house and I didn't want my mother to do my head. And I just wanted that look that a lot of folks got today, you know. And it was almost matted looking. But what happened is, a young boy, I'm going to get back on track in a minute. But what happened is, you know, being a young boy around the sixth, seventh grade, you started looking, you know, at the other side, the girls. And you want to like, you're like, But then all of a sudden, I always like blazed with my partners, you know. Your mama's so. And then all of a sudden somebody said, oh, I got a good one for you, C-Wright. Your name is C-Naps. From that day, I never, ever snuck out the house. I was like, mama, please comb my hair. Please comb my hair. But getting back to my illustration, sometimes, you know, the elder, you know, comes to you and they just tapping that kitchen, right? And they just tapping it, but it feels like they're doing this. Today, it might feel like I'm doing this. But I'm just saying, I love you. I love you today. Okay? Fellowship. Fellowship. If you look and study John, 1 John, you'll see that 1 John doesn't start with a whole bunch of I, the Apostle John, and in the fellowship of God and blah, 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 by the Father, blah. You know, like Paul letters. You can go to one of Paul letters and you'll see, you know, we greet you in the name of blah, 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 blah. Now, John went straight to it. He went straight to it. Straight to it. And the reason why he went straight to it is because there was some false teaching going on. And mainly by a group called the Gnostics. Gnostics. And what they taught is a little of this and a little of that. Matter of fact, if you study Greek mythology at all, you will remember this dragon called Hedra or Hydra. And it was like a dragon with about six heads on it. That's pretty much what the Gnostics were. They believed a little of this, they believed a little of that, a little of this and some more of that, and they believed a lot of things, and they tried to bring it all together, right? Like one thing they believed is that they were the ones that had the in with God. They were the ones of superior knowledge, right? They were the ones that were selected because of their intellect. They were smarter. They were more spiritual. And you know what? We have that going on today, right? You know, some people will come and approach you as if they have just left the throne room of God. And they have a blessing for you. Not God has a blessing for you, but they have a blessing for you. Right? But you know, God does not have a VIP room. Everybody is on the the same ground. Amen. Another thing that the Gnostics taught, or another lie that they taught, was that Jesus was not really human. He didn't have a human body, right? Because Jesus couldn't have a human body, because their belief was that spiritual things were good, but material things were evil. So Jesus couldn't have a body. That's what they pushed and believed. The third thing, very quickly, is what they believed came from Cerinthus, one of their teachers. And he taught that Jesus and Christ were two different beings. They were two different people, if you will. Two different beings. And what happened was that Jesus had Christ come on him, upon him, through his earthly ministry. But then at Calvary, what happened is at that time, he left. Christ left Jesus, and Jesus died on the cross. So Christ didn't experience death. Jesus experienced death. You see where the error is in that? I hope you do. And the saddest part about it is that with these groups going around teaching these errors, guess what? They were all in the church. They were not outside folks coming in to tell these lies. These lies developed within the church. If you read Psalms 55 and verse 10, it says this: the city, its walls are patrolled day and night against invaders. But the real danger is wickedness within the city. The real danger is the wickedness within the city. Church is saying that we got to get ourselves together. So, without any introduction or any formal introduction or anything like that, here John comes. And the first thing that John says is, I'm going to expose this situation, these fake folks, to the light. And this light that I'm going to use is Jesus Christ, God, my Savior. And so how he does it is by three ways. First, John says that light clarifies. He says that light clarifies. From verse 1 to 4, John says that light clarifies. He tells you that in the beginning, right, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Do y'all see how many times he is saying, heard, seen, eyes, looked, heard, bear witness, seen, I look, heard, seen, declare. Y'all see how many times he's saying that? And he's saying it over and over again for those false teachers. He's saying we heard him. Heard him means that we heard him with these, right? We heard him with these. We seen him with our physical eyes. You can't say that Jesus wasn't real. We saw him, right, with our physical eyes, right? And then we looked upon him. Looked upon him means that we sure enough looked. We stared, we gazed, we was all like looking, right? Matter of fact, if the police came by and needed a witness, we could have been good witnesses. We could say, yeah, Jesus, oh yeah, he had sandals, he had a robe, and he had sash, right? We could have described him to a T. We knew everything about him because we looked and studied him. And then we handled him. Do you all remember the time in the room when Thomas was saying, I can't hardly believe this, and then poof, there Jesus appeared. And Jesus said, what? Put your hands in my side. We touched him, right? We were there. You weren't there, and you're trying to say that you have all the knowledge. You're trying to say that he wasn't real. You can't tell me that he's not real. This is what John is saying. You can't tell me he's not real. You know, it was a funny, spirited discussion that I witnessed between Elder Williamson and Elder Mack, which is always was kind of funny to me. And Elder Williamson said to Elder Mack, you didn't see him. You didn't see him coming in there. And Elder Mack was trying to explain that he saw somebody come in somewhere. And Elder Williamson said, you didn't see him. And then Elder Mack said, how you going to tell me what I know, what I saw, when I saw it and everything else, brother? John is saying, how are you going to tell me, right, what I saw, seen, heard, and everything else, and you weren't there? He's real. He is real. And I know he's real. And then John goes and he gives us a punchline in verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship. Fellowship, koinonia, means partnership, communion, common, something in common. And it doesn't mean, by the way, just something in common that's good, because even a group of people that are up to no good can have fellowship, right? So for us, it means something in common, a partnership, communion. And what you need for that partnership, communion, and unity is the same interpretation about this God that we serve. We need the right God, amen? And that's why he came first talking about the right God. The right God. It's also interesting here, too, that when you're talking about koinonia, partnership, something in common, communion, fellowship and communion, they have the same definition. And when we think about communion, we think about the little biscuits that are served up here on first Sunday, and the little, grape juice, right? But back in the day, when this thing was first starting, they had a love feast that was going on. A feast, it was a love feast. They brought their goods together. It was like an awesome potluck, if you will, right? And they had this thing going on when they just got together and they commemorated and talked about the Lord's Supper with them. You know, if you notice, around times of getting together and everything else, you notice what you have most times? F-O-O-D. Ain't nothing like some food. Food will just make somebody, good food will make somebody, you don't hardly like tolerable. I can't stand her, but girl, those biscuits. That girl can cook a biscuit, right? Right? And it's something about food, right? It gets us together. You know, just like Thanksgiving. Oh, my goodness. Man, woo-hoo. You can just point at the lineup. I'm getting that. I'm getting some of that. I'm going to come back for that. But I'm going to get this, this, and this. And those plates look sinful. Right? And you just loving each other. Hey, woo, yeah. Oh, yeah. Right? And then all of a sudden, you're just having some fun. And I saw a lot of this because my girl showed me. What's that? The mannequin chat. Right. See, y'all know. Yeah, I saw a lot of that. Everybody was having fun. Everybody, right? Why can't that go on with God, people? Why can't that go on with God, people? God's people. My goodness. It's so interesting to me that folks can be in the same place, but in different places. They can be in the same place, but in different places. You know, there's a lot of ships, y'all. There's a lot of ships. Last week, we tried to get you on the worship, right? And most of you all are on the membership, right? Some of y'all are thinking about jumping ship. But once it comes to the church that you belong to, guess what you need to do? Get on that ownership. Get on that ownership. The church is the way it is. Because everybody got to take some ownership. Amen? Some ownership. Amen? And you can't go by this new thing that I'm seeing. Because, see, here's the thing about fellowship. Fellowship ain't about individualism. Huh? And you can't go with this new thing, and I tease my girls about this. I hope I'm going to do it right. But, you know, it can't be this attitude like, I'm good. Oh, I'm good. Did I do it right, Kayla? Oh, I'm good. Oh. Uh-uh. Can't be about that. I don't know how y'all do that. What does it mean? But I mean, I'm good. It can't be about that. Individualism. Can't be about that. Together we stand. Divided we fall. Come on, church. Goes on to say that light also exposes. Not only does it clarify who God is and making sure that we're on the same page about this God we serve, but it also exposes. See, when you study 1 John, you'll see that John does a lot of comparisons. He says this versus that. He says light versus darkness. Then he says truth versus lie. Then he goes on to say, children of God versus children of evil. He does a lot of this versus that. And what you'll notice is that there are no gray areas with John. You either are or you're not. You either are or you're not. And when he's talking about exposure, guess what he's talking about? You're either saved or you're not. You're either saved or you're not. But because we don't have glasses and eyes that can see through intents and motives and everything else, we can't do that type of judging, right? But I tell you what we can judge, fruit. We can judge fruit. You either are or you are not. Now, membership, I mentioned that a lot of folks are on that membership, but the goal is not membership, it's citizenship. Are you a citizen of heaven? See, what I'm trying to say, in other words, is this. We want the church to get on fellowship, but there are a lot of people that are on that fake ship. They're about fakeness, fake ship. You see what I'm saying? It's like fakeness. Let's get real about this thing. Either you're saved or you're not saved. Either you're in or you're out. Let's get real about this thing. You know, John is saying that it's a messed up thinking. And it's really messed up how some folks think. And there's different levels to people's messed upness, right? Matter of fact, I heard a girl on on TV say, you know, that is messed up in so many ways that I need to get a map to show you where all the places you have me messed up. I need to get a map to show you all the places where that got me messed up, right? John said, you don't need a map. You don't need a map. Let me show you the first level where it's messed up. Verses 6 through 7. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. The first level is lie. There are some folks that lie, right? They're lying about being in fellowship. They are lying about walking in the light. They are actually walking in darkness and trying to fake folks out. But the truth is that they are on that fake ship, not fellowship, on the fake ship. I heard a minister say yesterday, and here's the test, and I'll use his test. Basically, he said, the question is not, are you sinless? But are you sinning less? Are you sinning less? Not that you're sinless. I don't think nobody will get there. But are you sinning less? Montgomery Boyce said this, if you are truly God's, then God, the light, will be exposing the darkness so that the dark places are increasingly cleansed of sin and become bright and fruitful places for God's blessings. Do y'all hear that? In other words, this is what he's saying. You don't prove that you're getting better by concentrating on how good you are. Let me say that one more time. You don't prove that you are getting better by concentrating on how good you are. But the truth is that the stuff that is still there bothers you. It bothers you. And it bothers you to the point that because you know it bothers him. You know it bothers him. So the stuff that is still there doesn't make you comfortable. See, you don't go around saying, girl, I only said about 72 cuss words today. Usually I would say at least 300, 400, 500. Only said 72 of them today. And then the next week, girl, I done cut it down to 30. I cut it down to 30. And you pat yourself on the back because, hey, you know, I cuss, you know, less. But the truth is that what should bother you is the fact that it's still there, right? And the more sensitive to the fact that you are still, that you are dealing with the fact that it's still there, see, the more sensitive your heart is towards him. That's the test. Amen? Are y'all still following me? Amen. Here's another level of how it's messed up. If we say, from verses 8 and 9, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So the next level is deception. You ever heard of the saying that you have lied so much that even you believe your lie? You've lied so much. You ever see people that lie so much that they actually believe the lie that they told you? Got themselves messed up. Well, that's what's going on at this level, right? They have deceived themselves, and the truth is not in them. Not in them. Deceived themselves. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There are some people that go on to say and claim that they actually don't sin. Huh? That they don't sin. And there's some Christians that can't admit that they were wrong. That blocks fellowship too. When you start off from the position that I know I'm not wrong, that's a problem right there. That's a problem right there. When you start from that position, that's a problem right there. But there are some folks that say, you know, I don't sin anymore. Right? I don't sin anymore. Now that's an easy test there. Like I said, you don't need a map for that. All I have to do is I'll just give you all the benefit of the doubt. I'll give y'all 24 hours. Now, you mean to tell me in the last 24 hours that you haven't spoke wrong, acted wrong, or thought wrong? I'll tell you what we used to say. Please. And we used to have some in front of that please. But I won't go there. I'll just be nice and say, please. Right? Uh-uh. Don't even try. Please. Right? But these verses also teach us this, that saints don't approach the throne like sinners. Saints don't approach the throne like sinners. See, sinners, those who are not saved, they are approaching the throne judicially. God is judge. They have to deal with the fact that God is going to give a penalty for sin. But we approach the throne for fellowship. That's our Father. You can't lose salvation, but you can mess with your fellowship. Amen. So that doesn't mean, see, here's the thing. It doesn't mean that when you mess up as a Christian, you come up here as if life is all over, I'm defeated, and everything else. No, you know, it actually says that God forgives all sin. Your sin is forgiven. It's about the fellowship. And matter of fact, if you operate on the premise that oh, since all sin is forgiven, I can go out and, you say all sin is forgiven, I can do my thing. If you think like that, guess what? You never was. You never was his. You were never his. Okay? You were never his. So we want to get that straight as well. And guess what else gets in the way of fellowship, since we're on these verses? We can stick with that word, forgive. Now here's the thing. Forgive. We are not expected to forgive the sins of others. Y'all hear that? Here's that comb. We are not expected to forgive the sins of others because we don't have the power to forgive sin. But we are expected to forgive others. Do y'all hear it? Do you hear it? All sin is against God, right? So we don't have this power to forgive sin. But we do have the obligation to forgive one another. To forgive one another. And if you don't forgive one another, what does that do? Breaks up the fellowship. It breaks up that fellowship. Then it goes on to say, here's another level of messed up. They done messed around and even tried to say God is the one lying. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Some people even went to the state of saying, not only do I not sin, but I've never sinned. I'm not, you know, sin. And y'all, I hope y'all, like, find it hard to believe that somebody would even think that way. But there are some that actually were in the church back then saying that they never sinned. And I'm quite sure somebody at least said, brother, sister, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then you can go to 1 Kings chapter 8. And 46, verse 46, and this, I like the wording of this. His brother was speaking, and he said, when they sin against you, and then in parentheses, he said, for there is no one who does not sin. That's scripture. And I'll let you read the rest, because all I needed is what was in the parentheses. He said, when they sin against you, parenthesis, for there is no one who does not sin. Amen. So light exposes. Light clarifies. Light exposes. But the last thing that I want to say that light does is light points you to the right direction. It points you in the right direction. It points you in the right direction. It illuminates and it shows you which way to go. If you read further on in the second chapter of this same epistle, you will see in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 2, he will start by saying, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate which with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." He's saying that Jesus is the answer. He's saying that if you do mess up, if you do mess up that fellowship with God, or if you do mess up that fellowship with one another, you know what? You can get it right. We have an advocate. We have somebody that's on side of us. And he's not trying to argue the fact that we were right, but he's saying that I got it covered. He's saying that I got it covered. But you got to be in the frame of mind of wanting to change. 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 The direction you are going. In my office, I have a picture hanging up. I have a picture hanging up. And this picture was actually, it was going to be discarded. And that picture struck me. And I hope you guys can see it. I hope the lighting is there. Can you see it? Or are you having problems seeing it? I really want you to see it. And this is in my office. Can you see it better now? Do y'all see that the situation that's going on there? Guess what? The title of the picture is Choices. That's the title of the picture, Choices. And you have a little fella there, and he's staring off, and he's looking, but he can't stay where he's at. He's got to make a choice. There's no gray area about it. He's got to make a choice. Either he's going to go one way or the other. But you see, if he goes this way, you see that he's going into the light. But then you see if he goes this way, you see how he's going into the darkness. And he's got a little hoodie on him too. You see that? He's got to make a decision. But here's the interesting thing about it. Do you see if he goes into the light, you see how he's starting to fade out? Don't you get the message? When you walk in the light, all of a sudden, it becomes you being more and more like him. It doesn't become about you. It becomes about him through you and what he can do with you. Do you understand? And that's why he calls us my little children. You have a decision to make. It's not that hard. It's not that hard. And John says, I'm not going to allow you to complicate it. You either are or you're not. You're either saved or you're not. You're either about fellowship or you're on that fake ship. You can't hide because your fruits will tell on you. You're either about being on one accord or you're about being divisive. You have a choice to make. As a church, you have a choice to make. Either we're going to get real about this thing and be about one accord, unity, fellowship, or you're going to continue on a different path. Here's my suggestion. Those who are about fellowship, be so strong, be so committed to that fellowship that let nothing change your attitude. Let nothing change your outlook. And the more you shine, and the more we shine together, the better we'll be. And we meaning the church. Amen? The church. But to those who have not made a decision about Christ, you have a decision to make as well. Because if you are not one of his, then the decision has eternal implications. Amen? And here's the truth of the matter. Hell is real. Hell is real. Hell is real. You have to make a decision about your eternity right now. Where will you spend eternity? As we stand. This is decision time. Where will you spend eternity? And for those who are saved, church, what type of church do you want to have? What type of church do you want to have? That's the decision you have to make today. What type of church you want to have if you're a saint? But like I said, you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. Here's the opportunity now, because you have a decision to make. And if you feel that the Lord is pulling at your heart right now, don't ignore that. Don't ignore that. Tomorrow's not promised. If you know that your situation is not right, if you know it's not right, come get it right. Get it right. Tomorrow's not promised. Today, choose ye this day who you will serve. If you're talking about joy, peace, amen. 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 Is there another? Is there another? Let me tell you this right now. God answered prayers. That's a family member that I prayed for. I prayed for it time and time again. So I'm up here knowing that God is real. I know God is real. And my heart is rejoicing. I knew I wasn't the only C-right that was going to make it. I knew it. But there's still room. There's still room. Church, I ask you to take ownership. Take ownership. Get it together. Get it right. To get it right. That's what we need to do. Starting afresh and starting anew. Is there another? not, you may be seated.
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at nlccpontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you.